Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved.
Amen.
You're already standing, so go ahead and open up your Bible to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. We'll read a couple of verses and pray and let you be seated. And I promise we'll have you out of here before Waffle House closes, all right?
Amen.
Y'all have Waffle Houses up here?
We don't, but I miss them.
So y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. They're open 24 hours. That was a joke. Amen. All right, here we go. Acts chapter number 10. We're going to begin reading in verse number 34. Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth. Instead of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Lord, we pray that you bless the word of God tonight. Speak to hearts, we pray. Give us liberty and power. May God's people be encouraged and strengthened, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me take just a moment where I jump into the message and say what a blessing it is to be here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. I had the, as your pastor said, we've been talking on the phone and texting one another for a number of years now. This is my first time here at your church, and we've been looking forward to coming. I'm glad my wife was able to come with me. This is my first wife, Grace. We've been married since 1995, and I thank God for her. She's raised in a Christian home, saved at the age of 7, and grew up in a pastor's home, pastor's daughter her whole life, and I was saved at the age of 4 back in 1976. A lot of people don't think 4-year-olds can get saved, but I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen. Saved at the age of 4. Same year, my dad surrendered to preach. I grew up in a pastor's home, and my dad pastored down in South Georgia. That's where I'm from. I don't know if you picked up on that or not. We pastor in Baltimore, but I'm not from there. I'm from down south. Amen. Felt a little something on that right there. But Grace and I, both from Georgia. Daddy surrendered to preach in 76, pastored in Georgia for a number of years. And then in the early 80s, my parents surrendered to the mission field. So I grew up a PK and an MK. Amen. And my parents were missionaries in the Samoan Islands and the Hawaiian Islands during the 80s. And so I got to travel around with my folks on deputation and mission field, help Daddy start churches and help him soul winning and leading the singing and setting out the chairs and playing the piano, whatever needed to be done. And thought I had done my time as a missionary. And graduated from high school, went to college at Pensacola Christian College for a while, studying business administration and computer science. I had my life planned out. I was going to be a millionaire. I was going to give a lot of money to the church. I was going to help a preacher out. Yeah, I saw my daddy voted out of a church in the late 70s, and I learned at an early age that a pastor is one of the few people in the world that get fired for doing their job. And so I decided I didn't want to be a preacher. I said, I want to be a preacher's right-hand man. One of the qualifications of a bishop, you can't be a striker or a brawler. I said, but if I've got a lot of money, I can do that for him. Amen. So I had it all figured out. I said, Lord, I know my place in the body. Amen. Give money and fight people off the preacher, keep them off the preacher. But in 1993, I was at Brother Sammy Allen's camp meeting. Brother Sam Davison got up and preached a message on the meaning of surrender. God changed my whole life, turned my whole trajectory. And I surrendered to preach in July of 1993. Didn't go back to Pensacola. There was no sense in pursuing that. God had other plans. Grace and I got married in 95. And I went to Bible college there at her home church where her daddy was the pastor for a few years. And then the Lord called us to South Africa. And so we went on deputation, started in March of 2000. In March of 2001, we left to go to the field, fully supported. To God be the glory, and served there in the mission field for a number of years in Africa. Some of the greatest days of our life was serving on the mission field in South Africa. And so I just praise the Lord for our ministry heritage. I'm a fifth generation independent Baptist preacher.
Amen.
That and $8 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But that's my heritage. A lot of folks come from drunks and bootleggers. I came from a line of Baptist preachers. And I thank God for my heritage. That's one reason why I guess, preacher, I'm so passionate about the old past. Old time religion. I'm tired of these Bible college students trying to tell me what old time religion is. Amen. They come in just a couple, about 50 years too late to tell me what old time religion is. But, we came off the mission field in 2006. Been pastoring here in the States ever since. And now, as I said, our daughter Marissa, our oldest daughter and her family are missionaries in the Philippines. And we was FaceTiming them as we were driving down from the airport there in Nashville. Where are we at? Tulsa. We flew out of Nashville. Nashville, drove down to Alabama, preached there last night, drove back this morning to Nashville, flew to Tulsa. I got to figure out what state I'm in. Amen. Whatever state I'm in, though, I'm content. I can tell you that. But anyway, we were driving down from Tulsa and FaceTiming our family there in the Philippines and just all the challenges. And just to give an idea, and I know we're going to be here all week, so I'm not in a hurry. But she was telling us that she was just trying to get a prescription filled. And we don't think about you go to Walgreens or CVS or Walmart and you get a bottle of pills and you're good to go. She had to go to how many? 7 different pharmacies to get enough pills to get one prescription fill. I mean, she go in there and they got 3. They got 3 pills. Next one had 1. Next one had 5. Next one had 2. They drove around all night to get one prescription fill. Can you believe that? And they don't think nothing about it. They don't think a thing about that over there. I mean, for us, that's culture shock. Can I just get my pills and go to the house, right? You got to spend all night on a scavenger hunt. It's like Easter egg hunting, except it ain't Easter and it ain't eggs. It's just hunting, all right? But that's how it is on the mission field. And, of course, she's expecting her 3rd child, and she's due in June. My wife will fly over there for the birth of the baby, and just all the rigmarole of having a baby on the field, you just won't believe it. And but pray for your missionaries. You never know. Speaking of health issues, I'm just getting over Bell's palsy. I was preaching a revival down in North Carolina for a good friend of mine, Brother Michael Lindsay, down in Mayor Day in North Carolina, Monday through Friday. And I woke up on Friday morning, the whole left side of my face was paralyzed. And we thought I had a stroke. They ruled that out with MRI, but I've had Bell's palsy since October the 10th. And I'm telling you, man, it's been a challenge trying to preach with half your mouth paralyzed. I'm just now getting where I can smile. This whole side, nothing moved. In fact, I still can't blink this left eye. And I have to reach up here with my finger while I'm preaching and blink it or I'll forget. And that's one reason why I preach so long. I'm having to preach and blink. If somebody will come blink my eye, I can preach quicker. I remember sitting there looking in the mirror that morning. I mean, my face. I mean, I've always been an exceptionally handsome man, I think. But that wasn't a joke. Rough crowd up here, boy. But I remember looking in the mirror and the whole left side of my face, I mean, I was just looking. I was like, Lord, this is grotesque. I mean, this is horrible. I couldn't hardly stand to look at it. And it was just like the Lord said, well, now you know how to pray for Brother Henson. Amen. Now you know what it's like to be him. Amen. So the difference is mine's going to get better. Amen. I've known Brother Henson for a long time. I can pick on him. I love missions. Grew up on the mission field. Took my family to the mission field. Left a $100,000 a year job to take my wife and kids to Africa, and I never one time regretted it. And now my daughter and her husband and our grandsons are over there. And missions is my life. I mean, I'm who I am. It's shaped and molded who I am, shaped and molded how I pastor. And I said a moment ago, and y'all laughed, and I guess I said it jokingly, but I was dead serious. Baltimore, Maryland is my mission field. That's where God's got me. God pulled me out of Africa and stuck me in Greenville, South Carolina. And for several years, I questioned God, why would you do that? My wife begged me to take her back to Africa. We had more culture shock coming back to the Bible Belt than we did going to Africa. Trying to get Baptist just to do something. I mean, their favorite song is, I shall not be moved. Amen. And they're right. You couldn't move them with a D9 Caterpillar. I mean, it'd take a whole keg of dynamite to move some of them. We came back from Africa. Man, life over there was, every day was an adventure from early morning till late at night. I mean, it was just awesome. I was loving it. She was loving it. It was great. We were seeing people saved, baptized, growing, discipled, and came to Greenville, South Carolina, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And I was like, what in the world am I doing here? Then God, after 8 years of pastoring there, God uprooted me and stuck me in Baltimore, Maryland. And you want to talk about a mission field, a desperate need. Heavy, heavy Catholicism up there. Most of them's unchurched. And we're stuck in a place, and I know y'all out here in Oklahoma probably can't relate to what I'm fixing to tell you. But in a 7-mile radius of our church, there's 400,000 people. 400,000 people. I mean, they're just on top of one another. I could park my truck on the street and I can knock on doors for an hour and still see my truck. That's how many doors and houses are jammed into these neighborhoods. And my life on the mission field prepared me, uniquely prepared me for the ministry that God has given us at Calvary Baptist Church. And I appreciate what your pastor said. There's a difference in being missions minded and being missions hearted. When your mission's minded, you know about it. When your mission's hearted, you do something about it. There's a big difference. So we're going to have a great time this week hearing from these missionaries. I believe we support your daddy. Remember, the brother David is over in Zambia as well. We've been supporting him for years. And I'm thrilled to be able to be here, rub shoulders with these missionaries. As far as I'm concerned, mamas and daddies, you make sure your kids get to know these missionaries. They're the special forces. They're the special forces in Christian. It's the point of the spear. And I mean that with all my heart. But in our text here tonight, in Acts chapter number 10, I want to just, this chapter is amazing to me. I told my wife, I preached from this chapter last night, and I told her I saw several new things last night that I never had seen before. Every time I read this chapter, I see something new. And it's hard for me when I'm reading my Bible that I don't see something having to do with evangelism or missions. I mean, the Bible, it's in there. It's hard. I don't care where. I mean, it's in there. It's hard for me not to find it, honestly. But as I was reading this chapter, God showed me some things, and I can't wait to share them with you tonight. And so the title of the message is Some Things I Saw in Acts chapter number 10 That I Blessed My Heart, and I Can't Wait to Share It With You Tonight. No, I'm just kidding. That's not, that won't fit on the CD label, all right? The title of the message is two phrases taken from verse 35 and verse 39. Here's the message tonight. In every nation, we are witnesses. He said in verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In verse number 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did. So here's the message title. In every nation, we are witnesses. And as I began to look at this story, began to look at this chapter, I was blown away at some just simple but basic truths that God showed me in this story of Peter and Cornelius. By way of introduction, let me give you three things real quick, and then we'll jump right into the meat of the message. The first thing I want to notice in this missions story, this missions message, is the power that is required for missions. In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I have no doubt that the disciples had no idea what all that meant. They didn't have a clue what that meant. They had walked with Jesus and heard every message he ever preached. They saw every miracle he ever performed. I mean, they knew about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And yet he said to them, tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There's no way they could have imagined what was going to happen in Acts chapter number 2. I mean, when he said, wait till you get empowered, they was like, okay. But they didn't know. And can I say it? 2,000 years later, most Christians today still don't know what it means. That's why we're not seeing people saved. That's why we're not seeing more people walk the aisles. That's why we're not seeing more fruit from our door knocking and track passing out and more done on the mission field, because there's a lack of understanding that it's not going to be our intellect that won't get it done. Our experiences won't get it done. How well we know our Bible won't get it done. The secret to evangelism and soul winning and missions is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If God don't do it, it ain't getting done. It's a spiritual work. It's a supernatural work. And there's a whole lot of satanic oppression and spiritual attacks that comes with evangelism and soul winning and missions. By the way, we talk about missions. We're not just talking about Al Chonder. We're talking about right here in McAllister. That's what he said. He said both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he said both, and I know you know this, but what he meant was all at the same time. A lot of churches get lopsided in their outreach. They're only thinking about their town. They do virtually nothing for missions. And then you got other churches that are all about sending everybody else out to do the work, but nobody wants to do anything here at the house. We got to do both. To be biblical and to be balanced, you got to be both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's an overwhelming responsibility. That's why we need the power of God. We see the power that is required. And then secondly, we see the people that are responsible. The people that are responsible. In Acts 1:8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." In our text, in Acts chapter number 10, over and over, he keeps talking about the fact that that is the responsibility of the people of God, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel. He said the word which was published. He says in verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did." He said in verse number 41, "Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us." Verse number 42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify." And so we find out that the people that are responsible for the evangelization of the world is the people that have been saved. People that are not saved can't win lost people to Christ. People that are not saved cannot be and will not be and should not be involved in any kind of outreach, evangelism, missions work, soul winning. It's something that you've got to experience for yourself before you can be properly equipped to go and do it. So when you realize that there's a very small percentage of the world that has actually been saved, the evangelization of the world rests on the shoulders of those of us that know Jesus Christ. That know the truth. That have eaten and tasted and knows that the Lord is good. Amen. So we see the people that are responsible. And if you're here in this meeting this week and you're saved, we're talking to you.
Yes, sir.
And we're not just talking to the missionaries. They hear this every week. They're in missions conferences every week of their life. They've heard this 100 times. We're not just talking to the missionaries. We're not just talking to the pastor. We're not talking to staff members. We're not talking to Sunday school teachers and deacons. We're talking about everybody that's ever been saved falls into this category. So people that are responsible. Thirdly, we see the places that are reached. The places that are reached. I just told you in Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. He said in our text in Acts 10, verse number 35, "But in every nation," there's about 195 nations, give or take. There's a couple of them that's questionable or debatable, but there's about, as to whether or not they classify as a nation. You've got territories and things like that, but according to the United Nations, there's about 195 nations on this planet. Well, God smote my heart back in 2021. When I realized we were only in 43 countries out of 195. We supported at the time about 95 missionaries, preacher, and we were in only about 43 countries. And I'm realizing we're not even coming close to fulfilling the Great Commission. At no point do we get to sit back and pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, "Man, we're tearing it up in the missions department. There's 195 nations and we were only in 43 of them."
Right. Come on now.
And God burdened our heart to try to put a church planter, put a missionary, like-minded, independent, fundamental Baptist missionary in every nation. The devil said, "You'll never do it." I said, "Shut up, devil. We're going to try." And we started taking on missionaries, and our people started giving, and our faith promise exploded. I'll never forget, in 2021, it jumped $89,000, and next year it jumped $90,000, and next year it jumped $50,000. And I told our folks, I said, if you just keep giving, and you just keep having a heart for missions, we'll take on missionaries. It's not going to pile up in the bank. We're going to put it all over the world. And that was in 2021. We were in 43 countries, and tonight we're in 168 countries. In all 50 states, to God be the glory. And you say, preacher, what is the point? The point I'm trying to make is there's about 25 or 30 nations that we're not in yet because we can't find a missionary going there. Not one. Fundamental, independent, Baptist, separated, non-charismatic, non-contemporary. We cannot find one in that country. This is 2026.
Yes, sir.
It's unbelievable. We've dropped the ball.
Yes, sir, we have.
We've dropped the ball because the whole world is our responsibility. Every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every people. Places that are reached. Uttermost. There's places around this world people never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Well, let's back up to the beginning of this chapter. I don't want to get into the meat of the message. I got a lot to say here, but I want to see if I can cut maybe some of it out. I'm just amazed when I read this story about Cornelius and how this story came together, the practical things about missions and evangelism that God showed me. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. We've got a missionary here going to Italy. I think we could probably say Peter was probably the first missionary to the Italians. Wouldn't you agree with that? Probably. A devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. I mean, you look at Cornelius in verse number 2, he's an amazing man, devout, feared God with his house. He didn't just fear God, but he was taking leadership of his whole house and gave much alms to the people. That lets me know that he was a man that was compassionate. He was generous. He was a man that cared about people. He was concerned about people. He was moved by the plight of people. He was willing to take what he had and give it to somebody else. The Bible says he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. When he later down in verse number 31, he said, he says, I was fasting and praying. So, I mean, you look at Cornelius and somebody might say, man, I'd like to have a church full of people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't.
Come on.
He was lost.
Right.
None of that stuff saves you. You know that.
Right. Right.
I mean, all being devout and having your family together and giving to poor people and praying and fasting, that's all fine. But that ain't how you get saved.
Right.
I mean, Cornelius had a lot of things going for him. There's only one small problem. He was lost and going to hell.
Yeah. Right. Good preaching.
We got a lot of people around the world that are devout. Yeah. They're more devout than some of us.
Yes, sir.
They pray more than some of us. The Muslims pray 5 times a day toward Mecca.
Right.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What they do. You go down to Mexico and they're crawling on cobblestones on their knees to go kiss the toe of a statue. You go to the Philippines and they beat themselves with whips. They nail themselves to cross at Easter time. I ain't doing that. These people are for real. They ain't playing. There's only one problem. They're lost. Cornelius was lost. Religious. Religious, a good man, a moral man, an upright man, but he was lost. God looked down and saw that. God was moved by that. God was stirred by that. The Bible tells us that God sent an angel of the God to him in verse 3, saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he said, the Bible says he was afraid. He said, what is it, Lord? He said, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. You know what I saw in these verses right here? Here's what I saw. God looked down and saw this man. God looked down and saw this man with a heart that was sincere.
Yeah.
A man that wasn't playing. A man that was seeking after God. A man that was doing everything he knew to do.
Yeah.
And God sent an angel down. Now watch this. The angel knew where Cornelius lived.
Yeah.
Went to his house. Knocked on his door.
Yeah.
called him by name, Cornelius. The Bible tells us that Cornelius had a conversation with this angel, and this angel gave him the GPS coordinates of where to find Peter. I'm talking about the house he was staying in and the name of the man. And here's the thing that stuck out to me. That angel did not give Cornelius the gospel.
Yeah, right.
Yes, right.
Yeah. He told him where to find the preacher.
Yes, sir. Good.
Because it's not the angel's job to share the gospel. Yeah. It's our job to share the gospel. And that angel probably, I'm without a doubt, was there at creation, saw creation, was there throughout the Old Testament, saw all these people and saw all these things, and no doubt was there in the New Testament, knows for a fact Jesus was born of a virgin when Gabriel told her that this holy child that's to be born of thee is conceived of the Holy Ghost. That angel probably was there in Matthew 4 ministering to Jesus after he was tempted of the devil. The angels were there at the crucifixion. The angels were there at the resurrection. They were there when the stone was rolled away. If you were talking about being qualified to give the gospel, the angel would have been. But God didn't send an angel, and he never will send an angel to do our job. It's our job. He sent an angel to his house, called him by name, knocked on his door, and told him where he could find a preacher to tell thee what thou should do. That's what it says in verse number 5. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. I'm not doing it. I'm not qualified to do it. That's not my job. Do you realize that soul winning and winning the lost and evangelizing the lost and reaching the world, that's something that angels can't do.
That's right. Yeah. Come on.
And listen to me. If they could do it, if they were authorized to do it, if they were dispatched by God to do it, they'd be getting it done.
Yes. Right.
We wouldn't be having a missions conference.
That's right.
We'd be passing out some awards to the angels that's winning the most souls. Because I promise you, they'd get it done. But it's not their job. It wasn't delegated to them. It wasn't given to them. The gospel was stewarded to the church. And when you knock on somebody's door and give them the gospel, you're doing something angels can't do. And you're doing something angels won't do. God never intended for it to be that way. Boy, that blew my mind when I saw that. Bible tells us that Peter went up onto the roof about in verse number 9. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry. And he would have eaten. Now, he was hungry for the food that they was preparing. Bible says while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And what I see here is I see that Peter went to pray, and when he started praying, he got hungry. But he was hungry for the wrong thing. God was trying to get him to be hungry for meat to eat that he knew not of. He got hungry for some, I almost said pork chops, but he was a Jew, so it probably wasn't pork chops. Probably wasn't in that full pork barbecue we'd been eating. He got hungry. And God said, I got something I want to show you. And the Bible says God lowered a sheet down out of heaven, verse number 11, with all manner of four-footed beasts and earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, verse number 13, one of my favorite phrases in the whole Bible, kill and eat. I like it. Now, if you're a vegan, you don't understand that. Some of us know what kill and eat means, hallelujah. We get up in the woods, get up in a deer stand, kill and eat, hallelujah. I like it. Kill and eat, Peter. But Peter said in verse number 14, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. You know what? There are Christians today that for years, that's what they've been saying to God.
Yeah.
Not so, Lord.
Oh, wow.
For I have never.
Right.
For I have never.
Yeah.
Pastor gets up here week after week. We're going to have soul winning visitation. And we got church members that never, ever come. And you were to ask them, why don't you participate in our church's soul winning? Why don't you participate in our evangelism? And here's what they'll say. I just ain't never done it.
That's good.
Well, I'm going to say something real deep here. Hang on, hang with me.
Yes, sir.
You'll never have done it until you do it.
Right.
That's good.
I'm afraid I'm going to knock on somebody's door and somebody's going to come to the door and I ain't going to know what to say. I can guarantee you that's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
There ain't no question about it.
Yes.
If you want to talk about an adrenaline rush. You want to talk about living life on the edge is knocking doors,
yes, sir.
Having no idea what's fixing to come to that door.
That's right.
Amen. It could be somebody that's been praying for somebody to come give them the gospel. Or it could be some doped up Jezebel says, I'm going to kill the next person that knocks on my door. You don't ever know. Woo! It's awesome. It could be a little kid in a diaper and a Doberman Pinscher about that tall. I've had to hold the door shut, the dog trying to get out. You want to talk about fun, man, that is fun. I'm like, I could use some help over here. I can't walk away. I can't leave. I've also had them invite me in, let me witness to them. But you, if you keep saying, not so, Lord. He says, arise and kill and eat. You keep saying, not so, Lord. You do understand you can't say not so and Lord in the same sentence. Yeah. Because if you're saying not so, he's not your Lord.
That's right.
He's not your Lord. He's not your master. You're not taking orders. You're refusing orders. Right. When you say not so, Lord. For I have never. And the Bible says this happened three times. The sheep went back up to heaven, came back down. God said, Peter, rise and kill and eat. Not so, Lord, I'll never. Go back up, come back down. Three times the Bible says this. Never have filled out a faith promise card, preacher. Are we going to do that on Sunday? We're talking about faith. I've never done that. Well, that's a good year to start.
Right.
And I've written quite a few books, so I'll make a deal with you. If you get involved in world missions and you pledge to give to missions by faith, because God has burned your heart for the world, and you starve to death, I'll write a book about you because you'll be famous. You'll be the first person that's ever happened to. Now you'll be dead, but I'm gonna get rich off of it. You'll be the first person that God let die because you obeyed. I have been in church 53 years. I've yet to meet an independent Baptist that starved to death because they filled out one of these.
Come on now. Come on.
I have never met a Christian living on the street, living in a cardboard box under the bridge because they gave to world missions. I have never met them. It don't happen. That ain't how that works.
Right.
You get interested in what God's interested in, and God will get interested in what you're interested in. Probably my favorite quote of all time. It's in my book, The Exceptional Man. I heard Dr. Charles Keene say it. And I'll never forget. It's my favorite quote of all time if you were to ask me. And I love quotes. Here's what he said. Here's my favorite quote. He says, I'm not afraid of being a failure. I'm afraid of being successful at something God is not interested in.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
We've got people spending their whole life trying to hone skills and develop skill sets and try to make money and try to do things that God is not at all interested in. When we get interested in what He's interested in, I promise you, when we get busy getting after what the last thing He said to the church before His feet left planet Earth was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You show me a Christian that takes that personal and does everything they can to obey that. God's going to take care of them. God's going to make sure. Went up and came back down. Went up and came back down. While Peter, verse 17, doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, verse 19, I got this underlined, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me very carefully. When it comes to missions, evangelism, soul winning, and obeying the Great Commission, the Holy Spirit will always say, arise and go.
Yeah. That's right.
Every single time.
Good.
Without exception, the Holy Spirit will say, arise and go.
Right.
Arise and go. He won't say, sit down and stay. He won't say sit in your chair, easy chair, during your church's weekly soul winning visitation time. He won't say that.
Right. Preach it, brother.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit, if you're listening, will every single time say arise and go. It might be down the street, across town, or across the ocean, but He will always say arise and go. Because that connects perfectly with the Great Commission.
Yes, sir.
So, Peter went down to the men, verse 21, and said, behold, I'm he whom you seek. What's the cause? Where have you come? They said, Cornelius the centurion has sent for thee to hear words of thee. Let's jump down to verse number 24. Tomorrow, and they are entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. Little warning, you might want to put your seatbelt on for this one. I've been flying the last couple of days. You might want to stow your tray, put your seat in the upright position, put your seatbelt on, and extinguish all smoking materials, because it's fixing to get real. It's fixing to get real. Are you ready? Are you ready? Verse number 24, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Verse number 27, Peter, as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Now, in verse number 6, the angel said, you go find Peter, he will tell thee, he will tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Is that not what he said? He will tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Cornelius didn't even wait to hear it. He packed the house out. His family, his friends, his co-workers, his neighbors. He packed the house out. A lost man. Oh my goodness. He didn't know anything about the preacher. He didn't know what the preacher was going to say. He didn't know what time the preacher was going to get there. He didn't know what time church was going to start. But he filled the house up with people. He said, there's a man coming. He's got a message from God. You got to be here to hear it when he gives the message. And the Bible says in verse number 30, 4 days. For 4 days they waited. Can you imagine being a friend of Cornelius' and him saying, I need you to come over to the house. There's a man coming that's going to tell us something. Who is it? I don't know. All I know is his name, Peter. Well, where's he from? I have no idea. Well, what's he done? I don't know nothing about him. Never heard of him. I don't know the first thing about this guy. Where's he at? He's down there in Joppa. So we sent somebody to go get him. Well, when's he coming? I don't know. What time does the service start? I don't know. Well, what's he going to say? I don't know. What's he going to talk about? I don't know. But I want you to come. I want you to come. Could you imagine sitting in the house for 4 days trying to leave? Cornelius wouldn't let him leave. Yeah. Cornelius, I've got to go to work, man. I can't stay here all day. I slept on the floor last night. I've been sitting over here all day. I got to go. You can't go. There's a man coming. He's got something he's going to tell us. It's coming from God. You got to be here when he gets here. You got to hear it.
Yeah.
Lost man packed the house out. And here's the thing that blows my mind. We got church members that ain't never brought anybody to church. You know the preacher. You know what he stands for. You know what he believes. You know he walks with God. You know he's got a message from God. You know what time church starts. Still can't get them here. Cornelius packed the house out. So I have no idea what's going to happen, but you don't want to miss this. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine having a church full of people like that right there? Could you imagine having a church full of people that could pack the church out? And you already know what you're going to hear. You know what the preacher's going to say. And you know that if the people come, they hear it and believe it, they might get saved, not go to hell. You still can't get them here. Oh, my goodness. Cornelius said, well, verse number 29, Peter said, I ask therefore for what intent you sent for me. Peter still don't know why he's there. Peter wasn't always the sharpest knife in the drawer. What am I here? What am I doing here? 4 days ago, I was fasting into this hour, verse 30. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. A bold man stood before me in bright clothing, said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Verse 33, oh my goodness, the conviction that fell in my heart when I read verse 33. Immediately! He said, immediately, I sent to thee.
Yeah.
Here's a lost man.
Yeah.
He's told by the angel one time, go get Peter. And immediately, he sent for Peter.
Yes. Yeah.
The angel told Cornelius one time to go get the missionary. But God had to tell the missionary three times to go to the sinner.
Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. Come on. You're right.
And that's just about the way it is.
Yeah. Right.
Not so, Lord, I've never.
Right.
Peter, listen to me. Arise and kill and eat. Not so, Lord, I've never.
Yeah.
I've never eaten anything unclean. Yeah, but we got a bunch of Italians over here that need to get saved. Yeah, but Lord, I ain't never eaten Italian.
Yeah.
Well, he said you're fixing to. Amen. They need a pasta. That's what they call me in Africa. They call me Pasta Stacy. I think it's because I was about as skinny as a spaghetti noodle back then. They called me Pasta. Pasta Stacy. They said, there's Italians over here need the gospel. He said, I ain't never arguing with God. While Cornelius immediately I sent to thee.
Yeah, right.
What's wrong with that picture? Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Verse 33. And thou hast well done that thou art come.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
When the mission field congratulates the missionary for just showing up.
Yeah. That's right.
When the sinner tells the soul winner.
Yeah.
Well done. It's well done that thou art come. See, because I want to hear Jesus one day say well done. But we can hear well done down here. There's people down here that want to hear it. There's people down here that will be thankful if we'll just go tell them. Well done. Well done that thou art come. We've been sitting here for 4 days. I'm so glad you showed up. Thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, I got this underlined. We're all here. We're all here. Can I tell you something? The sinners are right where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, that's good.
The sinners are where they're supposed to be. The problem is we're not where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Y'all still with me?
Come on now, sir.
Too early in the week to be looking at me like that. Yeah. We're just getting started.
Come on now. Go ahead. You're right.
We're all here. We've been here. We've been waiting on you. We've been here.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, go into all the world. The world's where they're supposed to be.
Right.
They ain't coming here.
Yeah.
The people in Zambia ain't coming to Cornerstone Baptist Church Sunday.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, there ain't a place in the Bible where you can show me where lost people's ever commanded to go to church.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I just don't know why nobody comes to our church. They're lost.
Right.
There is nothing here that appeals to them.
Right.
Not one thing. Not the singing, not the songs, not the preaching, not the choir.
Right.
Nothing here appeals to lost people.
Right.
If you're waiting on them to come here, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
They might stumble in, but only when somebody full of the Holy Ghost invites them, draws them, says something, brings them.
That's right.
That's good.
In fact, if you get to the book of Acts, the New Testament model was the church went out and led with the Lord out there, then brought them to church.
Come on now.
Exactly right.
I challenge you in the book of Acts to ever find me anybody that got saved in church.
Come on.
The church is for saved people.
Yeah.
The church is made up of saved people. Right. The church is not for the unsaved. You're supposed to get them saved out yonder. And listen, I preach salvation messages all the time. We have altar call every service.
Yeah.
We have personal workers standing around the perimeter of our service with a Bible every service and lead people to Christ. I'm not against leading people to Christ in church. I'm just saying, nowhere in the Bible does it say lost people are supposed to come to church.
Exactly right.
The church is for us.
That's right.
And we're supposed to go out yonder and win them and then bring them in.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He that goeth forth weeping shall... We that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going out there and getting them and bringing them in.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Good.
You said, I just don't know what to say. Give me your testimony.
Amen.
And listen to me. I tell my people all the time, I got a salvation message coming up on Sunday. I tell them, I said, if you'll stock the pond, I'll fish.
Yeah. Come on.
But if you ain't got any fish in the pond, you ain't going to catch nothing. That's deep, ain't it? If there ain't no fish in the pond, you ain't going to catch nothing. That's terrible English, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to get saved Sunday if there ain't no lost people here.
That's right.
So if you're not going to win them out, John, the least you could do is figure out a way to get them in here where the preacher can preach to them.
Right.
Come on. Yes, sir.
We're all here, he said. We're all here. Brother, going to the prisons, Rock of Ages prison ministry. I was greatly impacted by the founder of Rock of Ages, Brother Ed Ballou, back in the 70s. Changed my whole family's life. Brother Ron Garris, for years, good friends with Brother Ron Garris. I've been in those prisons. I've walked into the Parchman maximum security prison with that little tray like that back yonder, that little thing that you're supposed to put cleaning supplies in, but you put tracks and handkerchiefs and stuff in and you go in the prisons. Hey, they ain't coming here. They can't get out. They're in prison.
Right.
And people in Italy, bound by Catholicism, they're not going to get up Sunday morning and walk into a Baptist church. If they could even find one, they ain't going. We got to go to them.
That's right.
He said, we're all here.
Yes, sir.
We've been waiting on you.
Yeah.
The disconnect in evangelism is the soul winner is not where he's supposed to be. The disconnect in world evangelism is the missionary is not where the people are.
Right.
I remember Daddy saying back in the early 80s as we traveled around, Daddy went on deputation. Our family went on deputation to go to Samoa. I remember Daddy saying there's 4 billion people on the planet. 4 billion. That stuck in my mind as a kid. 4 billion. And Daddy would give the scenario of the difference between a million and a billion. If you count to a billion, 1 second, one number for every second, it'd take you 34 years to get to a billion.
Wow.
And I remember him saying there's 4 billion people on the planet. That was in the 80s. You know what it is now? 8.25 billion. It's double what it was when I was a boy. On this planet.
Yeah. Right.
They're where they're supposed to be.
Right.
We're all here.
Yeah.
We're all here, present, before God. Look at what it says, to hear all things. Go into the world, teaching them to observe all things. How are they going to observe all things if they don't hear all things? He said, don't leave nothing out. We want to hear all of it. We've been sitting here waiting for you to show up. We know you've got a message from God. Hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We're all here. Now do your job, Peter.
Yeah.
We're listening. God told you something to tell us. We don't know what it is. We want to hear it.
Yes.
Tell us. Look what Peter said in verse number 34. I have a truth. I perceive God's no respecter of person. Peter just now figured out what that sheet coming down full of animals was all about. You can see the light bulb come on. Peter said, I get it now. I get it now. Rise and kill and eat. He wasn't talking about killing animals. He was talking about the Gentiles.
Right, right. Yes, sir.
And the Bible says he began to preach to them. He used that word witnessing and testify and commanded to preach in verse number 42. Guess what happened? You ain't going to believe what happened. The whole crowd got saved. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Bible says, and apostles and brethren, I left out verse 48. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And prayed. They prayed him to tarry certain days. His whole crowd got in.
Yeah. Come on.
Chapter 11, verse 1, the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. What about that? Oh, I hate going soul winning because people always slam the door in my face. Yeah, that's going to happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
But not all of us are going to do that.
That's right. That's right.
I hate to pass out tracts. I always wad them up, throw them on the ground. We got a woman in our church. She's fixing to finish her third year of Bible college. She came to our church because she took a tract out of the trash can. Somebody threw a trash can. She picked it up out of the trash can at Bath and Body Works and came to our church.
Wow.
What about that? Somebody invited her church. Somebody invited the employee to the church and they threw it in the trash. And she looked around. Leah picked it up. And she came to church next Sunday. Been there ever since.
Amen. That's good.
Not everybody's going to reject. Some of them will hear.
That's good.
Some of them want to hear it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
Some of them, like Ethiopian eunuch, is going to great lengths to try to find out what they don't know.
Yeah.
But they know it's out there.
Yeah.
Right. Let's keep going. I'm done. Verse number 2. When Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Now they're saying not so.
Come on.
We ain't never. Peter, we ain't never. I can't believe. Look at the verse. They contended with him saying, thou wentest in to eat. They wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. I can't believe. Peter, I can't believe. Peter, you know better than that.
Yeah.
We ain't never preached to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Peter says, I know. That's what I said. And he tells them the whole story again in chapter number 11. The whole story. He repeats chapter 10. Verse 18, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. What about that? You just never know who's going to get saved. But you got to tell them for them to get saved.
That's right.
Paul said, how shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? That's not a rhetorical question. The answer is, they can't. How shall they believe on him in whom they've not heard? They can't. They won't. It's not going to happen. Nobody's ever gotten saved through osmosis.
That's right.
Nobody's ever got saved sitting on a yoga mat meditating, all of a sudden, and the gospel comes to them. It's got to be taken. Yeah. How shall they believe on him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The angel from the Lord was standing right there looking at him face to face and didn't give him the gospel. He told him where to find a preacher to give him the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, the disconnect is us. We're the disconnect. We used to have a running joke when I was in construction. We'd go to run the skill saw, go cut something, and it just click. Nothing. You turn around and look, and it's done come unplugged over there from the wall. You know what we'd say? It won't arc that far. That was our joke. It won't arc that far. You know what the disconnect is between the gospel, salvation message, the working of the Holy Spirit? The faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. You know what the disconnect is between that and the sinner? It's us. We're not plugged in, and it won't arc that far. We got to go. We got to go. We got to tell them. They got to hear it from us. Or they're never going to hear it. Into all nations, every nation, we're witnesses. And until we've done that, y'all, we got work to do. Until we've done that, until every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet has heard the gospel at least one time, we got our work cut out for us. And you and I don't get to shrug it off and say, that's just more than I can handle. I just, somebody else got to do that. No, well, you don't get to do that. Not if you're going to stand before God one day and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yeah. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for the attentiveness of the people, liberty to preach, take the message, use it, speak to hearts. As the pastor comes to have the invitation, I pray, God, that you would do whatever it is you want to do in hearts and lives tonight. May it start with each and every one of us looking at ourselves, looking at our role in the Great Commission, our involvement, our personal involvement in witnessing, soul winning, passing out tracts, inviting people to church, being a bold, courageous witness on the job, on the streets, our family, our neighbors. May it start there. And Lord, may it not end until the uttermost parts of the world has been reached. Have you willing to weigh in the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.